Hello.
Hey, how are you doing?
Doing good. How about you?
I'm doing well.
Just finished flipping through. I'm getting to the point I can't remember stuff anymore. So I had one up. I had two I had pulled out, and I was like, man, I need to look at this again because I don't even remember what happened in it. And then I pulled it out and I'm flipping through the G.I. Joe I had, and I was like, I don't remember any of this other than it's like about one of the Joes being undercover after Chuckles got killed or something. And I was
When
like, I don't.
did you read it?
Oh, like 3 days ago. And the other one I read, I had to flip through. I basically remembered it, but I was like, oh, this is a lot more in it than I remembered. So and then I was like, eh, I'm not going to do the Joe one. So I grabbed a sable because I had a stack of sables and I was like, well, this one's dense. And then I grabbed one at the back end because I don't know if you have read a lot of John Sable, but like the further that run gets, the less text.
Dialogue.
Yeah, they get to the point there's hardly any dialogue. So I read one of the later ones. And
Yeah.
then I felt guilty because there was hardly anything to it. So I reread the back matter of what do you call those things? Backup strip to one from Innovation. So I have like two and a third books today.
Both of mine were pretty dense, but I only read two of them. I
Well,
started a third one, but it was so dense that I couldn't finish it.
yeah,
But
that's the kind of the
it wasn't dense not good. It was dense really good. I just didn't have time.
right. And that was my problem with that G.I. Joe. I think I would have had to straight up reread it, and I'm just like, ugh. I got like 20 minutes, so I just grabbed that sable and God, I like zip through it. I love Sable, but they get to the point, those are like almost like 5 minute reads once you get into like the mid-20s and onwards. They become like really quick books.
Yeah, the Mike Grell one. Yeah.
I haven't read the Marv Wolfman stuff except like maybe one random issue, because that one's, is it just called Sable?
No, Sable is something else. That's
Okay.
the guy who did Black Panther. I can't remember what his name is.
Oh yeah. McGregor, is that right?
Yeah, I think it is.
Yeah. So yeah, I
No,
was
there is a Sable. Maybe I'm thinking of something else. Sabri?
Saber. Yeah.
Saber.
I remember
That's the
that. That
one
was
I'm
one of the
thinking of.
That was a really early Eclipse book, I think.
That was Don McGregor, yeah.
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 But I know I'm starting to do that thing where I'm waking up earlier and earlier, so I get up and I read, comics for like an hour or 2 hours sometimes before work. So the problem is I'm reading so many now I can't keep them all straight in my head.
How many comics are you reading a week, do you think?
Oh God.
And is it all in a morning or?
The bulk of them are.
Yeah.
So let's see, I do bare minimum 8 a day.
Yeah.
But like today, I think, where's
Does
my
that
phone at?
include the weekends?
No, because like yesterday I read like 20 something because I'd been reading pretty much off and on all day long because I do like laundry and then stop. But like
Yeah.
this morning, I got up at 4:30. I got my little clicker somewhere. Hold on. And today I have read 16. So,
Oh,
but
do you have a clicker that you count them?
yeah,
This
so it's
is fascinating.
this is an app that you can get, and I have I'll give you the breakdown really quick, because and you can make it whatever you want.
Is
So right
it
now for
like a
the
listing app? So you can like say I have 10 DC,
you could yep
12
because you can
Marvel.
you, yep because you can label it however you want. So I started basically with what I thought would probably be higher number publishers by the time I got done at the end of the year. And if they were like stuff where I'm only reading like a book or two a month, like Titan, I just threw it under independent. So
Yeah.
I have, so the categories I've got are independent, Marvel, DC, Image, Dark Horse, Dynamite, IDW, Boom, manga, and then for collected editions. Because sometimes you read like a.
I usually cheat with the collected editions, so like if I read 10 issues of Daredevil in a collected edition, I call it one through 10, right?
Yeah, I do the same. So what that's for is if it's like an Archie one or like say like a graphic novel from Fantagraphics or Drawn in Quarterly where you can't break it down
Oh,
to
you can't
issues.
break it down, right?
Yeah, I just throw it on that. So like for that, I only have like 54 for the year. But like for Independence, I've got that I've read 579 this year, which is by far the biggest category.
Yeah, I
So.
haven't been totaling in the year. I don't know where I'm at, but I would think it's somewhere near 500.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm starting to hit your levels, man, 'cause
I hit pretty
like
shallow though some weeks. Like
Yeah.
the thing is I don't total them like
Yeah.
until the end. I mean, when I do
Gotcha.
the Mike M's weekly reads, that's when I total one week. I
Right.
have them all written down. I just don't total them, or I don't break them down into like categories. Maybe I should, so it's not so much work at the end.
Yeah, it's a free app. I mean, the only thing that it's got like a little ad running on the bottom. I can't even remember what it's called. Hold on, let me close it and then I'll probably tell you. It's called Counter. Like literally
Counter.
just like
Is this a
Counter.
Apple one or a
Yeah, I got it on from the Apple App Store.
okay.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't remember who it was. It Crash Sheridan on X, maybe, I think, was using it. And I was like, oh, that looks cool. And then I get obsessed with it because I get really like, oh man, did I remember to
Yeah,
punch that I did that one?
I know Ryan Drost does it from Star Joes. Like he'll keep totals and say, this is how much I read this week.
Yeah. So it does daily and yearly. I haven't done weekly. That's why when you asked that, I was like, ugh, I actually don't even know. But I almost never read under eight. So you gotta figure what's that 7 times like probably 75 books a week is probably a good average,
Oh
I
my
would guess.
God. You're
Yeah.
smoking me.
Well,
On a good
I'm
weekend, like I'll probably hit like 50 this week. And that's because Barb is gone. So
Yeah.
I'm like bachelor and I don't have anything to do, so I sit here and read and watch TV all day.
Yeah, that's and I did that
And it's been
yesterday
kind of
too.
gloomy, so I can't do certain things outside, so
Yeah, the weather here has been weird. It'll be really cold and then it'll warm up a little and then it'll get really cold again.
yeah, I had to turn on the heater yesterday.
Oh, we did too. I
Yeah.
think it got down to like 31 or something. And I'm
Yeah.
like, the house was like at 67. I was like, nope, that's not
Yeah,
going to cut
it
it.
was like 66 in here, and I said, I better turn it on.
But yeah,
Replace the filter.
we had a fun day yesterday. We voted and then we went and got COVID and flu shots. So both my arms are absolutely killing me.
I
But
did
at
that
least.
early because I did it before the con.
Oh, well, that was smart.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
it's like a 2 week thing,
Oh,
so
yeah.
I figured I needed to have it 2 weeks before.
Right.
Yeah.
How was the convention?
Oh, it was really good. I liked it a lot.
Me and Rob will, I don't know. Rob may make it before I do. I think I got further to go. Well, I don't know. One of these days we're gonna have to meet up the three of us to figure out how to do it.
Yeah, Heroes Con probably is a little better.
Is that the Charlotte one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Baltimore has changed a lot. Like it used to be thriving, like that
Yeah.
area near the pier, and it. Well, I know they're rebuilding it, but it got. I guess during COVID, it just so many places just closed.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, and now they're in like a recovery time. So.
I'm trying to remember when I was last in Baltimore. It was before I got married, so probably it was in the early 2000s. And yeah, it was gorgeous. You go like 5 blocks deep, though. It was just regular old Baltimore. But like that front
What?
right
You go 5 blocks in the wrong direction and
up.
you're in trouble.
Right. But you know what I mean? Like I remember we went to see a wrestling event there and we were at the pier and then when we like I say we went in like just a couple of blocks and we're like, "Woo. This
Yeah.
place is a dump."
Yeah, it's dangerous,
Yeah.
especially at night.
But yeah, we saw the guy who like set somebody on fire and threw him off the top of the arena. He was buying gas. I don't know what got him out.
Yeah.
That tells you about the good old days, man.
How
Wrestlers probably had to drive back and forth all the time. But
far is it How far are you from? You're not driving distance to either of those locations, right?
Oh no, that was back when I lived in Georgia.
Okay.
So I had a friend who lived in DC, and we did a kind of like a baseball trip, but we
Yeah.
also had the wrestling there as well. So like we hit Richmond and Philly and Baltimore actually
Yeah.
twice because we went and saw the Orioles and then we went into the wrestling. So that it was like over a week. But
Yeah,
yeah, that
we
was.
did that too. We saw the Oriole, went to an Orioles game, and then a couple of nights because the gym overlooks the hotel we were at overlooks the stadium. You could go
Right.
watch the games. So we were
Nice.
watching the games from the balcony in the gym, so that's pretty cool.
We were at
Of course, it's expensive to stay there, but
right.
yeah.
We were at Target Field for Green Day, Smashing Pumpkins, Rancid, and the hotel we didn't stay at because it was too expensive was the exact same thing. You literally could have not bought concert tickets, stayed at that hotel and sat on the balcony and totally watched the show because it
Yeah.
was so close to the field.
Yeah, I listened to your podcast and I didn't realize you left Twitter. So I commented on it and then I
Oh.
was like, "Oh, Joe's not around anymore."
Yeah.
I meant to say that I could relate to a lot of your stuff. Like I like to go to concerts,
Yeah.
but I'm old now. Like it's
Right.
like I can't do these long ones, man. I'm just
No.
like I
We were.
almost like ones that I'm sitting down in too. Like I don't want to stand for,
Me either.
I don't want to stand for 2 hours. There's no way.
One of the greatest shows I have seen in forever was, and it's because they're so consistent. I mean, I don't know that the highs are as high as like the Green Day show, but we went and saw Toad the Wet Sprocket.
Oh yeah.
That's where we were that weekend that I told you we couldn't record. And it was like an hour and a half show in a balcony, in seats. I think we stood up maybe twice. Every song was good. Really,
Yeah,
really,
I saw them
really good set.
in Denver, like when they were hot. I mean,
Yeah.
when they were like at their peak.
Right.
Yeah.
They're still really good. The only thing I think they've had is the change in the drummer. He's not with them. I don't know if he's still around or what, but he's just not with the band anymore.
Yeah.
But they were really freaking good, man. I like them a lot. And that, like I say, they were done by but well before 10. I was like, this
Yeah.
is the kind of show I need to be going
Well,
to.
now I'm seeing like Three Dog Night and they're in their 70s and stuff. So,
Right?
and we're all sitting down and all the fans are like wheeled in and,
Jeez.
those are
Oh,
my
that's funny.
kind of concerts.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was one I wish we had gone to. Kristen didn't want to go because I think she just, we were doing so many shows and it was in the middle of the week. But it was Social Distortion with
Oh yeah, Mike Ness. Oh God,
yeah. Oh.
I like Social Distortion a lot. I saw them too. One of the better concerts I've ever been to.
I'll tell her that and then maybe no, I'm not gonna make her feel bad.
Well,
but yeah, we didn't go to that. I can't remember who else was playing it.
he's so good. Like
Yeah.
it's sort of like alternative Johnny Cash, you know,
Right.
like I love his stuff.
Yeah, so
Solo or with Social Distortion, he's great.
it was just like a concert year for us. And I don't know. The next year, I think we're going to take it a little lighter because we hit a lot of shows this year.
Last year, this last past year, we hit a lot of shows too, but it was all at this like Pikes Peak Old Timers Theater.
Oh, that's cool.
Where they have seats like everywhere, and it's like everybody sits down, like there's no standing. Well, you could stand like if you're on the bottom,
Right.
but you're standing in front of your chair.
Right. Yeah, that was the worst part of the Pixies one because it was them and Modest Mouse, and it was on concrete, and it was like, oh God, 3.5 hours, and my feet were just killing me, and there's
Yeah.
nowhere to sit unless you sat on the wall.
Yeah.
And then they had like fire rules. If you got too near one of the doors, they'd freak out and they'd come like, you gotta move, you can't sit there. And like, I'm like, so.
Well, did you just get back from a vacation too, or no?
I had a conference last week where I was in Peoria. So we went from Chicago for 3 days to Peoria. I was in Peoria for the Illinois Library Conference. And then so I've been back at work since like last
But you took like
Thursday.
a picture on Facebook of a comic shop, like,
Yep,
yeah, it was like a old picture with your kids and then a
yep.
current picture.
Yeah, that's in Skokie. So that's when we were outside of Chicago, and that's Art Balthazar's and Franco's comic book shop.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like, and we're all holding stuff that they did. So like, if you zoom in on the picture,
Yeah.
it's all like stuff that they did, I think mostly independently. One of the kids may have grabbed something that they did.
Well, they did a lot of the DC
Yep.
young ages, whatever they used to call it. I forget what it used to be
Tiny
called.
Titans.
Well, I think they
But
did Shazam too. Like
yep.
after Huckle left, they
Yep.
like came in and did it.
I think they did Green Team too. They just didn't draw it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I love that little store, and I just it had been almost exactly 10 years since we took that one shot. So we're like going outside to take a picture, and the guy is super nice guy. He'd already like gave me a good deal on some books because I grabbed a bunch of I've been working on filling. I got really mad when Dynamite raised all their prices, but I couldn't stay away. It's like kind of like me and you do with Star Wars. I left a bunch of titles, and
Oh,
then I got mad, and I've gone back, and I'm trying to fill in all the Dynamites I missed. So I'm in there grabbing as many Darkwing Ducks and Thundercats and Vampirellas that I could.
I stopped Star Wars again, but
Yeah, I did too.
well, I was like, okay, Star Wars ended, Darth Vader ended, good time to jump, right? Like,
That's what I
I
did.
was like, I'm gonna jump. But guess what? My comic shop guy threw him in my box anyway, even though I
And you
told
bought
him.
them.
And I bought him and I really liked him
Oh no.
and I was like, oh no, he's like a crack dealer, you know? It's like, oh, I'll just give you a taste and you'll want to get it again and
Well, I think me and you both are probably DC people at heart. So, with basically 2 weeklies already from DC the last couple of months, I couldn't do it another weekly. So, yeah, I cut Star Wars again. But you know
yeah.
what? I'll end up buying and trade probably. So.
Well, it was so different because we don't know much. At least I haven't read the novels, but in
Yeah.
comic wise, we don't know a lot of what happens after Return of the Jedi.
Well, you do if you, but I
Well,
guess you
Dark
don't.
Horse,
The
but
Dark Horse stuff doesn't
that
count
got wiped
anymore. Yeah.
clean, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I wanna at least know what happens
Sure. Yeah, I get
with the
that.
big, like Han and Luke, and so I read it and I liked it, and I even got Ewoks and I liked that
Oh,
too.
I don't like Steve Orlando.
I don't either, but
But it was good.
I'm not he's a 50-50 for me. Like I like
I could
the
see
He
that.
did the scale trade for Magma, and that was really good.
Okay.
And I like what he did with Ewoks,
I
and I
love.
like a Scarlet Witch. So it's like sometimes he hits it for me, and sometimes he doesn't.
I
Like he
almost feel like.
hated his X-Men stuff.
Yeah, I feel like he's one of those guys kind of like Bendis, where I like him at one company and I don't like him at the other. Like, I liked Bendis at Marvel and I didn't like him at DC. And I think in general, the stuff that Orlando did at DC, like Midnighter and Apollo, I like much better than anything, with the exception of Scarlet Witch that he's done at Marvel.
Yeah,
Scarlet Witch is
the
pretty good.
Bendis DC thing was seemed weird. It
I
seemed
hated it.
I didn't hate it.
Ugh, I did. I actually
I
dropped
liked his Legion and
Superman.
Superman, but I didn't love it. Like it was a
Yeah.
step down for me. It wasn't
Yeah.
like oh my God, I can't read this.
Yeah. I dropped off. That was the first time I hadn't bought action in forever. just because I didn't care
I
for it.
can't stop Superman. I just he's like the I think he's I like Superman more than I do Batman.
Oh, I do too.
And I like Wonder Woman more than both of those two. But so it's and Flash used to be my favorite, but like
I don't like the new Flash stuff either.
Spurrier is oh my God, I just can't I read it because it's Flash, but
Yeah.
I'm going through the motions. I don't read it and then like there's some things he does with the kids that I like. But
Yeah.
that's like the only aspect of the Flash comic book I like.
Yeah, and that's not
Is
enough, I don't
his
think.
two kids, yeah.
It's like I've been reading his Constantine, and it reminds me of how like Walking Dead the TV show was at points. I'll read an issue and really like it, and so I'll pre-order for the next three, and then two of those three I'll hate, and then the last one will be like just good enough that I'll go, dang it, I gotta go track down the ones I didn't order. And then I'll order them again, and then again I'll like not like a couple of the issues, then I'll drop it again, and
Yes, yeah,
that's how
that
that Constantine's been for me the whole
well,
time.
Spurrier's like Steve Orlando for me. Like,
Exactly.
it's so weird. It's like I can read something and I'm like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. And then I'll read
Right.
something and I don't like it. It's like there's never an in between.
No.
It's usually at one extreme or the other.
And I'm at the point now since I'd have a lot more room and I'm not having to worry about space as much right this second, knock on wood. Like when I did that big purge right
Purge,
before we moved
yeah.
where I gave you guys a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
So I'll be reading these like dollar books I'm picking up from my comic shop, and even a bad one I enjoy way more than like a modern book that's not good. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? Like I
Plus,
read A Hamster Vice this morning. And the art's horrible and it's hard to tell what's going on because the line work is so busy, but I'm like, oh no, I kind of
it's
like it.
interesting.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
it's so weird. You like it anyway. I mean, they're like police hamsters fighting this mosquito queen, and I was like, who comes up with this crap? And it's just like these weird puns all over the place. So, and I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
like here's a great example of books that I want to support and like. I really want because I used to really like Robin Hood and I used to really like Van Helsing, but then they started doing these one-off books where they're like 48 pages and $7 or something.
Yeah, Zenoscope.
And I'll pick up one and it'll be fine, but I'm like, this isn't worth $7, so I'll bail. The only thing I keep getting from them pretty much is just the regular Grim
Well,
Fairy Tales.
the good thing about them though is those 7 buck ones, they're like done in one. So it's like you get a beginning, middle, and an end. So
Yeah, but I just get so mad if I spend $7 on something I don't like.
yeah, that's true.
It
It's a lot of money. I mean,
is.
if you look at overall, I've reduced my comic intake, but it costs the same.
Right. I'm still spending every bit of money that I put aside for it. And it's just now like in that example, instead of buying the newest fairy tale team up, I'll buy $4 books instead, you know. And what was the other one? Keen Spots like that. I
Keen
really
Spot's ridiculous though. They're like $6.
I know, and I think they're just regular length. But then they'll do something like that Mark Spear's Monsters where I
I got
really
that
want to keep
too. I
getting
got
it.
the one that was hot too. I just picked the cover and I was like, I sure like the Bride of Frankenstein cover. And that one like
I
blew
think
up in
there's
the
two of
back
them in Hot
market.
10 right
Yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Bride and then the one that's like the ghoul looking dude.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
me and Bill were going through previews, and I'm like, I don't usually get Keen Spot because of the price. I
Yeah.
mean, I used to get Ninja versus Robots or whatever
Me
the heck it
too.
was. Like that was the go-to all the time.
I love
But
that
once
book.
that left, I was done. And but then I saw Monsters, and I was like, oh man, I want like five of these covers, but I'm only gonna get one
Right.
because they just looked amazing.
Well, that's one if I don't pre-order it, I usually won't get as stuff from them. If I can just see in my head, I'm like, okay, if this is like at the $4 price, that's basically what I would pay if I went to the comic book store. So I might pre-order one that I'm interested in. Like I ordered the Die Hard one just because it made me laugh. The one with the Easter Bunny and that's in the newest previews.
Yeah, I didn't. I haven't placed my order yet, so
I just did
we
mine.
went through it, but I'm gonna do that today.
My Marvels has where that's taken the biggest hit since I've really been getting back issues again. I'm not getting a whole lot of Marvel. And my thought is, kind of just I can get it on the app.
Well, I was thinking that too, and I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to like wean myself a little bit. I tried with Star Wars because that cuts out a lot.
It
That's
does,
like
yeah.
5 books a month,
Yep.
if not more.
At
And
least.
yeah, I was like, okay, that's a good, but God damn, did he put those in my, like, I would have been fine if I could have even put them back at that time and said, no, I told you I didn't want them anymore.
Right. Oh, I
But
used to
then
do the
I
same
kind
thing
of
when I had a
thumbed through
box.
it and I was
Yeah.
like, oh God, this looks like something I want to read. And
Right.
I was like, I was weak. I was very weak.
I did the same thing when I had a pull box. I would be like, oh, yeah, I didn't ask for this Aquaman or whatever, and I'm going to get it though,
Yeah.
And Lightning Comics is actually the one that I should have said because I remember that he put a bunch of Lightning books in my box when they were first coming out. And I was like, what is this? He's like, it's the hot new books. And I was like, oh, okay.
Okay,
And
yeah.
I just bought them anyway.
Well, I put a lot back because he does that to me, and I'm already getting them from
Oh,
DCBS.
sure.
So like I did that with Absolute Batman, and I said, you're stupid. You should have got at least 2 copies of that because I could have got rid of one
Yep.
and kept the other because that book got like
It
on
got hot
fire.
quick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he only
Oh.
ordered like he always over orders stuff, and he only ordered 25 of those and sold out the same day.
Well, that's no
So
good.
he didn't order enough. He orders
Right.
hundred of other stuff. I don't understand why he didn't take a. I could see not taking a flyer on Absolute Wonder Woman and Absolute Superman, but Absolute
Yeah.
Batman, I would think you would have that draw, you know.
Have you read it yet?
I haven't read it yet. I've
Okay.
read All In.
Gotcha. I read All In too.
That was
Yeah.
amazing. I liked
Yeah,
it a
that's really good.
lot. Especially the
Yeah,
center panel. Oh my God, it looks so awesome. I could stare at that forever.
I got really excited. I love that they're bringing a lot of the stuff that got killed off with the old regime. They're bringing back the bullets, they're bringing back Vertigo. It's
Yeah.
very exciting. I skipped Nice House because I've been getting those in trade, but now that they said they're going to reprint them with the Vertigo logos, I'm like, damn it. So I'm going to end up ordering the reprints and just do singles, I guess, for the newest volume. So, because I want to support the Vertigo initiative, because I don't know, Black Label never made sense. It sounds like you're like DC Johnny Walker, It's weird.
Yeah, just a rating for them. It's like,
Yeah.
hey, we can get away with a little bit more. It's like Marvel with their poly bags.
Yeah,
The those the
the
that red band was a waste to me. Like,
Yeah.
I literally opened up a couple of like Blood Hunts and I compared them panel by panel, and I was like, man, they could have given me so much. Like, it didn't give me anything except 3 more panels or 4 more panels of
Yeah.
gore and nothing that added to the story. And I was like, oh, I don't need those red bands anymore.
Well, yeah, because it can't add to the story, you wouldn't think, because otherwise it would, they wouldn't be able to run them concurrently. I don't think it would work.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, throw
I
me a
think,
bone, though. At least show me something that. The panels that they did give me seemed forced. Like they didn't seem like it seemed like an after the fact, let's do this. And they were already doing that kind of violence anyway.
Right.
Like if you read Venom, they were already cutting people in half and doing all kinds of that stuff.
I'm inherently lazy too. So, like, if I order a book on my comic shop that's old and it's one that had been polybagged, if they have the option of ordering one that's already been opened, I'll
Yeah.
order the one that's been opened because I don't want to deal with the polybag because I'm just going to get rid of it when it comes anyway.
I'll deal with the poly bag if there's something in the poly bag, like
Oh,
a
sure.
card
Card.
or a Superman bandana or something like that, right?
Right. Yeah, I get that. I think that's one of the few I still have in the poly bag. I still have, is that 75? Because I was gonna open it one day, and because I got rid of my, so I had three. I had the newsstand, I had the poly bag one, and I had an open to poly bag one. And I got rid of the open poly bag one because I'm like, I don't need this. I think I have it in trade too. And I was gonna open the other one to show Jack what was inside of it, and Jack's like, no, don't open it, don't open it. I was like, why? He's like, because you can read it elsewhere. I was like, okay. He's like thinking when I croak over and he gets it, it'll still be unopened, maybe. I don't know. But I think everything else I have, I pretty much open them when I get them. So,
I do too. I opened up the red band. I open up, I like cut the, sometimes I cut the top
yeah, that's
and
what I
then
usually
slide
do.
the book out and then I'll slide it back in the poly bag.
I used to do that. I don't know anymore. I throw
Yeah.
them away now. I used to, oh my gosh, this is gonna sound like heresy to a comic book collector. As like a teenager, I used to rip out the Mark Jeweler ads.
Oh, I don't blame you. They were annoying.
But now, like, they actually up the value of
Oh,
almost
yeah,
every
they
book they're
do.
in.
But they make
So
it, they also make it a sturdier book
they
because
really do.
those ads are thick.
They
They're
are.
like on a, like, it's almost like a thin cardboard or something.
So yeah, and like when Valiant had the cards in them, I would pull
Yeah.
those out because I used to hate having to deal with that little floppy, like whatever that is, like cellophane card holder in the middle of the book. That used to
Yeah.
annoy me. So anytime there was like stuff in books back then, I would tear them out.
Yeah, I
I
never
don't
tore them out. I would read around
know. Yeah, that's a smart thing to do. I
it.
treated them like subscription cards and magazines. I'd get rid of them, and always. It always
But
would aggravate me.
if they had like a lot of Topps comics, they had cards in them too.
Yeah.
So I would always like, yeah, I would take tear the poly bag thing, and then I would rebag it with the card, you know?
Yeah.
I'll keep the card with it.
Yeah, I have like all my Draculas, and I don't even know if I have the cards for half of them. So I don't think I have too many Topps books left, except for a handful I found like in a quarter bin in Tennessee. But a lot of stuff has come and left my household, Mike, and ne not never to be seen again because I rebuy some of it, which is the worst.
I
It's not like I need to.
don't
Well,
think I'm gonna look forward to getting rid of my shit. Like
yeah.
I know it has to happen.
Yeah.
Like even now, you know, me and Bill were talking and it's like we bought all these dollar books at Baltimore and I was like, when am I gonna get to read them? It's like the fire hose is just constantly on
Right.
and I'm not like working off even what I get for that week. Like,
Right.
so yeah, I said like I could stop. I could go like cold turkey and I would literally with all the collected editions and stuff still have enough to read.
Oh my gosh. With just the essentials and showcases I got, I could probably go like 2, 3, 4 years without having to buy another book for a
Yeah,
while.
up to a year ago, I had every single Epic collection, every
Yeah.
single one.
Yeah, that'd take you a hot minute to get all
Oh
those in.
yeah.
Are you getting the new DC versions of
I'm
that they're
picking
putting out?
I'm not being a completist.
Okay.
I'm picking and choosing like the new DC Connect came in this past week and it had a Plastic Man one and I'm like, "Oh my God, this is so fantastic because it has Police Comics and Plastic Co
Oh, nice.
Man." Yeah, I'm like jumping on that one. And then I got the Aquaman even though I have every single Aquaman comic except for maybe five from the Silver Age.
Okay.
But everything forward I do. I
Right.
should, if it wasn't for Squirrel, I would have completed that a long time ago. But I'm always
Sure,
getting
right.
something different, you know, like
That's what happens to
right
me.
now it's like I read one Kid Colt comic and I like loved it and now I'm reading another. So it's like I just go down these things and it's like, okay, now I'm focused on something else. Like
Yeah.
it's, and it's totally not where I was, like where my focus was, but I find something that I like and I narrow it down and then I get kind of tired and want to move on to something else, and it's another squirrel.
Yeah, I do the
So,
same thing. I was
yeah.
like, I'm gonna finish 52 this year, and I think I worked real hard on it for a while, and then like trying to find them in the wild, and then I like petered out, and I think I still have about 15 to go. And I don't know why I need them. I got the trades, but
Yeah.
I just wanted to have them. And then I just started doing that with Airboy too, and I was like picking them up, and then the Vixen, is it it's Vixen, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that one was one I had already had, luckily, because it was really pricey. And now I don't remember how much I paid for it, but in near what it's going for now. And I got up to the issues I already had, and then I petered out on that. So yeah, I do that a lot, where I'm like, oh, I'm going to work on this series, like in my like I was telling you with the Dynamites, where and then I'll stop. But then I almost always end up going
I
back.
did that with Tomb of Dracula. I was
Yeah.
like, okay, I have the whole freaking thing in Omnibus, like
Yeah.
everything, even the magazines, like
Yep.
everything that's Dracula. Oh, I'll never need to get Tomb of Dracula, but then I have all the Werewolf by Nights, the Living Mummy, like supernatural thrillers, and
Right.
I'm like, why do I not have Tomb of Dracula? I got
Right.
Frankenstein's Monster, I got everything else, Werewolf by Night, why? And I went down that rabbit hole. So now I almost have a full run of Tomb of Dracula. So it's, yeah, it never ends. And then now I'm into like, for me it was always like DC, if DC romance, DC horror, DC Western, like.
Sure.
And now I'm getting into the Marvel stuff, and I never touched Rawhide Kid or
Yeah.
Kid Colt or any of that. And I never read the Marvel horror like anthologies because they were reprints.
Right.
But now I'm getting into the reprints.
Yeah,
And I
those are fun of
like
the old Atlas stuff.
the Bronze Age reprints are
Yep.
amazing.
Yeah.
So it's
I get that. That's like the fun thing with the Marvel Westerns is they're almost like superhero cowboys. They're not like the DC ones at all, I don't think. So it is almost like a different kind of Western comic to read. So they're a lot of fun.
yeah, it's like Kid Colt. I just picked up an issue I'm talking about in this episode, and I was like, I don't even know what this guy's backstory is.
Right.
Why is he an outlaw? And then
Right.
finally, this particular issue had three stories in it, and the third story had the blurb at the top. You know how Marvel does, like, oh, this guy was bit by a radioactive
Yep.
spider, and like it had a Kid Colt thing, and it kind of gave me the backstory. So I'm like, oh, he's an outlaw because of that, but he's not really an outlaw.
Right.
He's really a hero.
Yep. Well, it's
So,
like the Green Hornet kind of thing with him, wasn't it? Where he has to
yeah. Well, he's on the run.
yeah,
Yeah.
he's oh, that's right. He's more it's more
He
like he's misunderstood.
no, he killed somebody and then ran
Oh, okay.
away, but that
Okay.
person that he killed deserved it.
Gotcha. Well, yeah, I remember the Kid Colt ones where they would always be at the end where like he seems all right to me, Sheriff, or something, and then he'd like ride off.
It's like the Hulk TV show, right?
Yeah.
He comes into a bad situation, saves the day, and then he's off walking into the sunset. And
Right,
then
yeah.
he like will fall in love with somebody, and then he has to like,
You have to
oh no,
help head that out.
I don't love you, but he really does, right? It's like, no, I
Yeah.
don't love you.
He's throwing rocks at the dog to
Yeah.
make it leave.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to like the woman to find out he's an outlaw and wanted by the law or something.
Right. That's funny. Yeah, those are I like those. Those are fun. They are, like you said, they are very dense, so I almost have to geek up to read. Well, like kind of like Sergeant Fury. I like Sergeant Fury, but those are so dense. I really have to be in the mood to sit down and read one.
I have not read much Sergeant Fury. For that reason, well, I think DC's like Western, I don't know, their style is so much more in my wheelhouse.
They're
Like
a lot
DC,
breezier.
D,
They're
well,
easier to read.
but not only that, but artistically, I think they look better too. Even though they have some really good artists on these Bronze Age. I think the westerns that I'm reading are reprints
Yeah, they probably are.
from the Atlas era.
Yeah.
So
They're probably from like the 50s, I would guess.
yeah,
I think.
it's almost like Marvel at that time said, we have to compete with DC, but we're not going to put original material. Let's just put the old stories in there.
I've had that before, Mike, with my Sergeant Furies, where I'm like, I swear I've read this issue before, and then it turns out I have like the original Sergeant Fury and then the one that came out in the 70s that was the reprint of the one that I have from the 60s.
Well,
So I've had that happen before.
with Sergeant Fury, you'll have the same series that will reprint itself.
Yeah,
So
totally.
you'll be reading like issue 75 and you're like, "Oh, this looks familiar." And you're
Right.
like, "Oh shit, it is. It's a reprint."
That's what I found that out with the I finished off the little stack of Fighting Armies that I bought a few years ago. And the very I bought the very final issue and I was reading it and I was like, this does not look like it came out in the 80s. And then I went back to the Indicia after I finished it and it's like originally printed in 1958. So their final issue was just a reprint of one of their early ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if Charlton did that a lot though, because I know like all those modern ones that would their cover dated like 1980 something, but they'll be like reprints of stuff
Well, the
from like
K
the
yeah, those
70s.
Kmart books were all reprints.
Yeah,
But that's
yeah.
when I found them. Like
But see, like Whitman would print stuff that's concurrent. I think they were just reprinting stuff that was old. You
Well, I
know what I
think yeah, I
mean?
think Whitman would polybag their stuff, you know,
Yeah.
like. And they got the same license to what was being published
Right.
at the around the same time, maybe a little later.
So the modern ones weren't in bags, they were just straight up on the rack.
Yeah, and they usually
I did
had,
not know that.
they usually, Kmart didn't have a rack. They just had like a shelving, like where they had the coloring books and stuff.
Yeah.
They had comics,
Nice.
and they'd put their little Kmart stickers right on the comic book, even though it had a price on there,
Yeah.
they would still price gun
So
it.
funny. I pick up those when I see them, the modern reprints. I don't know why.
Yeah.
I think me and you have talked about that before. When stuff will go into second printing, sometimes I'll be like, well, I skipped it, but now it's in a second printing. Maybe I'll grab it. Like,
Well, with the modern though is interesting because at least Marvel would put another cover on it. Like they would
yeah.
hire another cover artist to draw it, so it looks like it's something different. The modern ones was the exact same cover. Maybe recolored, but it was the same. Like you'll find a Vengeance Squad and you'll
Right,
look
that's
at the
what I got a couple
Charlton,
of.
yeah, the you'll see the Charlton version and you're like, "Oh, that cover matches."
Right, I got
Yeah.
you. Good example of that though, where stuff will go back into second printings. I mean, I get that, you know. I wish DCBS would do a complete FOC, but it's fine. I'm able to pick up stuff I missed this way. But on the FOC,
The emails help lately.
they do. They do.
I don't I wish there was one that in the email header it said like ratio variance, 'cause I don't give a shit about those, right? And
Right.
like I want to delete those mails, but the ones that I do care about are the ones that are just FOCs, 'cause
Same.
you might see another cover on there or something else
Well,
that
I
you
don't know
want
if
to
they still do,
order.
but Dynamite used to straight up have FOC variants.
Yeah.
But Grommets, I think there was one week where issue 4 was out, and they're like, well, issue 1 is on its like third or fourth printing, issue 2 is on its second printing, issue 3 is on its second printing. I was like, well, I really like Brett Parsons. I skipped this. What does it look like? I'm glad I ordered all those reprints because that is a really, really good book. I don't
I
know.
haven't gotten to it yet, but I did buy it.
Yeah, I'm really liking it.
But you're a
It's
skateboarder, so I expect that.
you'll have fun with it because I mean you remember the 80s and it's
I
very
do, but
much.
I stayed away from that culture.
Well, you'll still relate to
Oh, I'll
stuff
still
though.
relate to it, sure.
Yeah,
Well,
it was good stuff.
I have friends though that didn't skateboard and liked it. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
Yeah, Brett Parsons, I think I first discovered him on Tank Girl, And I was looking on my thing and I was like, ugh, I don't have those anymore. Doggone it. And that everything price back issue wise has really gone up, man.
Oh, for
So
Tank
like
Girl?
just, oh, I don't know if it has, but I haven't even checked because in general, like a lot of stuff, when I look things up just from like not even that long ago, it's either going to be the base minimum, the 250 a book, or it's going to be like, $5, $6 a book. And I was like, what the bleep happened?
Yeah.
But I'm going to look right now, see how much. Well, some of them they just straight up don't even have in stock. Like Bad Wind Rising. Let's see the one they do have in stock. It's not horrible. That's funny. Their 7.5 is 350. Their 7 is 430. That doesn't even make sense. But yeah, the
I
first.
never I have a few Tank Girls. I think they went to Titan or something.
They're at Titan, yep.
I got some of those, but I don't think I have anything prior to that. Even though it seems like it's in my wheelhouse because I think, was it at Dark Horse once?
It
Or,
was, yeah.
okay.
Yeah, a lot of these are like $8, $9.
Artistically, it looks like it's in my wheelhouse, but I never went there. And I haven't even seen the movie with Lori Pettit.
I haven't either.
I might want to see if I can find that on streaming and watch it. I've been watching a lot of old films.
I just watched that disco documentary that was really good.
Yeah.
I love music documentaries when I can find a good one. I didn't know as much about disco as apparently a
You
lot of
thought you
people, because
did, yeah.
yeah, I thought I knew a lot and I'm like, oh, apparently I don't know much at all, which is
It's
fine.
disco seemed really a lot in the drug
I was
realm.
all about it was very much originally a gay thing,
Yeah.
and then it became kind of
Everybody and drugs.
a way for black women singers to make a living
Yeah.
in pop culture, and then it kind of, as anything does, white folks moved in and it kind of got taken over, and then it basically got killed off because it got too big. But
Yeah.
I didn't realize how rooted that under it was in actual underground clubs. I thought it was always like big business, and no, that's not the case at all. It started really underground, just like punk or hip hop or anything else. So
Yeah.
it was super interesting.
It starts off small and then grows into a cult and
Yeah,
spreads.
and there's almost always like a movie, and then that's when it dies. So yeah, Saturday Night
Saturday
Fever.
Night Fever.
And it explodes, and then
Yeah, I don't know
within
why
like
it
2 years, it's
died.
gone.
Like, yeah, they based a whole comic book. Dazzler was coming out of that.
I love that Dazzler.
Yeah.
I talked to Paul Chadwick one time on Twitter about his run on Dazzler. It was only a few issues, but man, it looked like it was going to be really good. And he mentioned that, they really were going for a kind of Olivia Newton-John or Robosize kind of look to
Yeah.
it. Because I told him I didn't like the new outfit as much than it when it changed over, and he's like, "Well, that was editorial's decision," and I was like, "Well, it seemed like it was going to be good," and he's like, "Yeah, but it had run its course, which is a bummer." But you know what? He got to work on Concrete, which is a better book anyway, so that's
Well,
okay.
now it's like Dazzler is kind of like what's her name? Kelsey.
Monet.
No, the one that was supposed to play her in the movie.
Oh, I don't know.
Travis Kelsey's girlfriend.
Oh, Taylor Swift. Yeah,
Taylor
yeah, yeah, yeah,
Swift.
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Who's the singer for the X-Men that was always an X Factor? Wasn't her name Monet?
I can't remember.
Oh, well, there was like an intergalactic singer that strong guy
I
was
thought
like the.
Monet was the Gen 13, not Gen 13, Generation X.
Oh, okay. Well, whoever it was
Wasn't she
that
the strong one? Like the one that
she.
had powers? Well, I don't.
I don't remember.
I'm so weak in the X-Men lore.
Same. Once you get past the mid-80s, I don't know as much. But anyway, I know Guido was her bodyguard, and it struck me when I was reading the most recent Dazzler issue, it
Yeah,
reminded
because
me of
Guido was her
he
body.
was her
Well,
bodyguard,
no,
right?
Domino was her bodyguard. Guido was a stagehand.
Oh, that's
Yeah,
right.
he was like one of those, what do they call him? He'd carry all the equipment back and forth.
Yeah. It was okay. I didn't love it.
I didn't love it, but I thought it was good. Like
The
I
new
knew,
X-Men stuff's
I
kind
knew
of been
what
hit and
they
miss.
were doing.
Right. But it felt like something they did with that before. That's where that was my main point. And I can't remember that character's name. But I don't know. I read that
Maybe it
Dazzler.
was Monet. Maybe you're right.
Now I'm gonna look. I'll just look up Guido and see where the heck he came from originally. Are you caught up on all the X-Men stuff, or is
Everything
that
except for Uncanny, I did that this weekend.
okay? That's the Gail Simone one.
Yeah, that's the only one I'm not caught up on.
Yeah,
I still
I
like X Factor the best, and for some reason,
oh, I like X Factor. That one's good.
I like that one. That one is just so weird. It's like X. What did that remind me of? It reminded me of like X-Statics or something like that, where
Oh, totally.
it's like they give you a group and it's not really the group. Like we've had that issue one had Angel and all these other characters, and then all of a sudden it's back to Havoc and it's turning back into the X Factor we know. And then that whole pivot with Polaris was interesting. I like that a lot. And I liked NYX a lot. Like that's one that I'm really digging. Those two. And Exceptional was really good, but I'm a mark for Kitty Pride. I really am. Like
That one I think I skipped, but that one was
they could
good.
just throw Kitty in a book and I sort of like her. The only time I didn't like her is when Steve Orlando wrote
Right. Lila Cheney was her name.
Oh, okay. Oh,
Yeah.
Lila Cheney was dating somebody. Who was she dating? Was it Bobby?
Maybe.
She
Let's
was
see, I'm
dating
pulling her
one
up
of
right
the
now.
X-Men.
She was
Was it
She was from
Angel?
New Mutants originally, which makes sense. So I didn't realize that's where Guido came from, was New Mutants. I would have thought he came in an X Factor,
X,
but I
I
guess
would have too.
he popped in up in there first. I remember what I was going to ask you. So speaking of authors I don't like and people I bail on, I am a huge Harley Quinn fan, and I've been pretty much trying to get her stuff, except for two instances. I didn't like when Riley Rossimo was drawing it. It didn't work for me. And I like Riley Rossimo on the right book, but I didn't like that. And I don't like Teenie Howard. I hated the Catwoman that was coming out, and I totally bounced off it in Harley Quinn.
Those are two that I like.
Do you like both of those? Okay.
I like
Maybe I
both of
should
those.
revisit.
But no, just because I like them don't mean you should. You don't like JRJR, and
That's true.
the last two issues of Amazing Spider-Man were the best Amazing Spider-Man's fight scene I've ever seen in my life.
He can draw a hell of a Spider-Man.
Oh
I
my
will give him that.
God, he had a two arc issue of just fighting with Tombstone. It was amazing. I was just like blown away by the fight itself. It was like a like one of the best laid out dynamic scenes I've ever seen in a comic book. But now I'm really curious about who Lila Cheney was dating.
Let's see. Let's see if I can find it real quick.
Cannonball.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, I knew it was somebody, but I couldn't put it two and two together.
I could not remember. Like I said, some of that stuff, especially getting into like the side titles, I know even less, you know. 'Cause I would read that stuff like if I came across it like on the newsstand once in a while, but in general, the only thing I was getting in the 80s was pretty much X-Men. I did like everybody in the 90s for that, two or three year run where you bought everything. But a lot of that is like a blank space for me. I don't remember it well enough. So did you ever drop off a book though because of a writer you didn't like, or do you usually stick through it anyway?
Oh, in the past I did.
Okay.
Over the last 20 years, probably no.
Okay.
Because like a lull to me is still continuity. So
Sure.
I have this thing in my head that like even though I don't care for it, I want to know. Like I want to know historically what this is about.
Well, it'd be like a friend. if your friend might be going through a really boring or shitty time in their life, and you're like, oh, if they tell me one more time about what their kid did in kindergarten, I'm going to throw up. But, you know, you still care about your friends. So, yeah, I get that.
But when I wasn't, prior to 2006, I was a lot more like that. Like,
yeah.
I would drop in and I'd drop out. Like,
yeah.
It was more realistic.
Yeah.
Like, it was more like your common comic fan. Which means I have a fixed budget. I will stick to that budget, and I will drop and add accordingly.
Yeah, that's what I
did. And then it just got, like, after podcasts, it got ridiculous.
Sure.
And it still is ridiculous. Like, the fire hose is still way more than I can possibly ever – I can't drink that much.
Well, and that's what I have done with the dollar books. You've seen a couple of those big boxes that have come in.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't keep ordering $30 books a week, because even though it's cheap, I don't have the time. So I cut it down to, like, I try to keep it under 20, because after tax and that shipping they add on, it'll be right about $25. So I keep my dollar book budget around, you know, $18 to $20 a week.
Mm-hmm.
Just that way I don't, because I was getting overwhelmed. I was like, I get a box from them, and it's more than a short box. It's worth the comics. I'm like, that's too much at a time, you know, because that takes you a while to work through.
Yeah, I just did this. I do this Twitter auction thing guy. He comes on every Wednesday and Saturday. And
is that the guy's got the egg avatar?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know him. Yep.
Medium Mike.
Yeah.
So, like, he does videos now and stuff, but I used to, like, go on immediately and just get what I wanted, but now I've gotten, like, a lot of the books, so I, like, I'm more picky, and they're gone by the time I could look it up. Do you know what I mean? Yep. Do I have that one? And then it's gone. Like, it's – so, like, I usually just go through after everybody's – picked and seen if anybody left anything.
Oh yeah,
is there any carcasses left?
And that's something I learned that my comic shop does too. They'll have a limited amount on some titles. Like, there was a really weird kitchen sink one the other day, and there's been trades on there before, and I think once they sell a certain amount of it, it reverts back to that price. So I've had one in my cart before I get, you know, through the pages of dollar books, it'll have gone back up to full price, because they'll have sold what they were willing to sell at a dollar.
Yeah,
you see what I'm saying? So yeah, I do. I get that FOMO. I'm like, holy crap, I got to do this order really quick. And sometimes I'll order, like, I wasn't going to order that, dang it. And it gets ordered anyway, because I was so worried about losing a different book. Like, they had the Saga trade paperbacks, I think 2 through 5 for $1. And I had given all my Sagas to Jack. But then all of a sudden, of course, I wanted to reread it. And I could go bug him and make him dig him out of his back issues. But I'm like, eh. I was probably just going to check them out from the library, but I was like, for a dollar, I'll just grab them, right? And then,
a dollar?
Yeah.
Maybe I ought to pay attention more to their sales, but.
They pop on Tuesday nights.
Yeah.
So first thing they'll do, they do it in 3 stages. They'll drop their new books for the week. Those come out, and then shortly after, they'll drop all their dollar sales.
Is that when they give you a new code on Tuesday?
Yep. Okay. And then after the dollar books drop, they give you the new code telling you what's on sale. And there's a sweet spot, Mike, for about an hour where you can get the books on sale from last week and this week, the 10% off thing.
Oh, before they take it out? Oh, I see what you're saying.
So there's a really sweet spot where I'll, like, put in the new code as soon as I get it, and then I'll look, and there'll be stuff from last week on my want list on sale and stuff from this week on sale, and that's usually when I do the order.
Yeah.
Anyway, you want me to...
Yeah, go ahead and kick cover us one off of these here. Books? Sure.
Let's see. Let's do the little. I'm gonna do the short one first, because if you don't care, I can do the short one and the Sable back to back.
Sure.
So this was from, and man, I did not know this series. It was from Innovation, Hero Alliance. I think.
Oh, my God! I love that series.
It started with another publisher. I think Wonder Comics. It was one of those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know
And
who
if
hooked me up to that was Derek Coward, man. It
this
was
is
like my
good.
first podcast. I listened to Derek before I listened to Comic Geek Speak.
Oh,
So like
yeah.
and he was big on two things that I remember, Hero Alliance and Maze Agency.
Those are both
And
really good.
sure, I jumped on him, and I literally got everything Hero Alliance. This was before I was like where I could keep up with my reading.
Right.
And I ordered them all. Like, I can't remember if I did Mile High or my comic shop, but I ordered them all and then read them sequentially, just the whole thing.
Well, I could be wrong, strikes me as a reprint of old stuff because it's called Hero Alliance Into the Golden Age. And the reason why I think it's a reprint is because that cover for the very first one from Wonder Comics is the splash page for this one. So I wonder if this is a reprint of old material, but it may not be. I don't know. But anyway, I'm doing the backup only. I'm doing Gemini Plus. This is by Kevin Dwyer, Peter Palmer, David Campiti. They wrote it. And I'll actually, Jesus Christ, this is confusing. They got a ton of artists on here. Five authors and two artists, with inking by Pat Brusseau. So anyway,
I thought the is this the end of the Golden Age or what is this?
this one's called End of the Golden Age. This is number three.
In the Golden Age.
End of the Golden Age,
Oh,
END.
End of the
Yeah.
Golden Age, I thought was Bart Sears and Ron Lim.
Not the backup story I'm doing.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
Yeah, the main story, which I think is the reprint, is Ron Lim. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So I'm doing just the backup Gemini story. And I just thought this was a hoot. This whole thing was a hoot. There was a weird scene in the first part of the issue too, but I'm not gonna talk about it other than I'll tell you they're going to their house, and this is in the first part, not in Gemini, and there's like two superheroes on their roof, just randomly. And he's like, "What are you doing here?" And the guy goes, "I'm Sentry. The steroid stallion here doesn't have a name." He says, "All the good names are taken. Just call me Bart." I just thought it was so weird. I wonder if that was a Bart Sears joke. But anyway, so that's in the main story. We're doing Gemini, and Gemini is a pair of heroes that appear in Hero Alliance, and so it's kind of like how they were born and how they came up with their powers. So we're at a hospital, and a guy's in the waiting room, and he's waiting for his kids to be born. The doctor comes out. He's like, "I've got good news and bad news. You have two healthy sons, but your third son was born still. It was a stillborn." So he goes in and meets his kids, and they touch each other, and there's kind of like a little spark of the babies touching each other. Then on their sixth birthday, they have a sister born at age seven. It just shows different things that happened. He got stuck in a tree and his brother got him out. At age 10, he beat up another kid for calling his brother Turtle Face. That doesn't seem like that bad of an insult, but whatever. At age 13, he gets busted for sneaking in the girls' locker room. And then age 15, he wakes up and he's punched a hole in the wall. And his twin brother says, "What happened?" He said, "I had a nightmare. We were in danger. Someone saved us. I saw him. He said he was our brother." And the narrator is saying, "The bond between these two is strong, but stronger among the three." So basically, I don't know if this spark is like the ghost or the presence of the third brother or what, but if they touch each other, have any kind of contact, they are able to like have super strength. So they go out and try it out after he's punched through the wall in the middle of the night and he picks up a boulder. He says, "You're right, Steve. When we're together, we have power. See, we share it, but only one of us can use it as a time." So, what they can do the power back and forth, but they both can't have it at the same time.
Is this issue one or what? Which issue is this?
This is issue number three.
Oh, number three.
So it's the final issue of that miniseries.
Okay.
Yeah, it was one of those dollar books that I picked up and I didn't have any context with what I was going into. And that was the other reason I wanted to cover the backstory versus the main story, because it like this, it's a complete tale and I understood what was going on. You
Yeah.
know what I mean? So he plays football and baseball and he's great at it. And they become businessmen and they get a store in the mall. They sell French jeans, ooh la la.
know, that's so funny. They're like, the ladies love these French jeans, and you're like, so do the guys. Well, we'll order more. It has them at home with mom, and they're talking about, well, we should become superheroes. And so they go and talk to their parents, and I guess the parents' situation, it wasn't clear earlier. They knew all along that the boys had special powers. They say to dad they want to become a superhero, and then the dad's like, yeah, but make sure that you don't have anything go wrong, like today's headline. And the headline says, Newport Pool Murder. I don't know what that has to do with a superhero, but it must have some kind of context. So they're telling the parents they're going to become superheroes, and the sister goes, well, if they're going to be superheroes, then I want to be able to stay up till midnight, which I thought was funny and lame. The next day, they are getting ready to go to a costume party, but it's basically like, if you've read the comics, the Gemini outfit. So they're going to put on these costumes, go to a costume party. They're on their way to a package store. What do y'all call package stores in, I don't remember, ABC stores? No, that's on the East Coast.
Are packing like stores store. Like FedEx?
Package stores like a liquor store. You all just say liquor store?
Yeah, I've always said just liquor store.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was funny because
I have never heard that other term, tell you the truth.
Yeah, in Georgia, they called them package stores. But I knew there was some place because if you look in the one panel on here, like you can, but pretend you can. It says State Store ABC. So there's some places on the East Coast. I don't remember if it's like Baltimore or like the Carolinas. They have ABC stores, and they are basically liquor stores or package stores. But they're going past this liquor store.
I wonder why they call them that.
I don't know, but that's just what they're called there.
And they'll send stuff out of it, like packages or what?
Oh, no, I don't think so. That's a good question. I don't know.
There has to be some kind of reason, though, like historically.
Well, I know. I know that's what they called them growing up, and I have no idea.
I've always been West Coast, so.
There you go.
I mean, I've always been in New Mexico and Colorado, so I guess I've never heard those terms.
Well, they were on their way past this liquor store, and they're getting it's getting robbed. So they're going to go in, and one brother's like, don't go in there. He's like, but I got a costume on. He's like, I'll go alone if I have to. He's like, fine, and he stays in the car. Don't expect me to bail you out. He gets in there. There's this really creepy demon-looking dude with bad hair, and apparently his name's Sepulchre, and he's fought the guardsman before, and guardsman's one of the big characters in Hero Alliance. He's like, you call yourself heroes, fool. And he goes, reach out to me, because his brother does come in and help. A force field? Nice going, Steve. And they punch him, knock him out. They go outside, and the cops are like, glad to see your heroes on the job, even with your headquarters destroyed. So the cops just assume that they're part of, you know, the Hero Alliance. And they're like, oh, great. Terrific, Bob. What are we going to do? Put him in the garage? And so they take this villain because the cops don't take him because the Hero Alliance always takes the villains off on their own. The cop thinks they're part of the Hero Alliance. So they end up taking this guy and just storing him in the trunk of their car. And the end. I just thought it was such a weird little story. But yeah, I'm excited to track down more of these.
It was like a superhero team, but it was very soap opera, like, yeah. very sexual. Not as crazy as Elementals ever got, but later.
No sex specials. Yeah. I read a few of those. They went from like kind of tame to pretty racy at a couple of points.
Yeah.
The sex specials. I think that's
when Rev got a hold of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I shipped them out to somebody. I don't remember who ended up with those. All right, the next one I'm going to do is a John Sable.
I might have got a few of them from you.
I might have, because I know that was when I was...
Because I think you were thinning stuff, and I think Rob already had some elementals, so I think I went for them, whatever you had.
When I cut back, the main thing I wanted to make sure I kept was stuff that the kids would be interested in. Mm-hmm. And stuff that had history with me as a collector. So if it was stuff I picked up recently and was independent, I think I was a lot more apt to get rid of it. And that one was like, I don't know if I ever need to reread, like, you know,
fathom having sex with whoever, you know. It was fine, but I didn't know that it was something I was necessarily going to gravitate towards on a given Wednesday, you know. But anyway, so next one up is John Sable Freelance. This is number, what number is this? 36. So you've got, I always read it as Mike A. Brown, but maybe it's just our Blackstone. Maybe it's, maybe her name's just Mike. So, you know,
she's the promoter, right?
Or she's the artist.
Oh, the artist on the book. That's right.
Yeah. So he's,
children's book, right?
Yeah. He does like leprechaun storybooks. Yeah. Yeah. So
she's pretty sexy, isn't she?
She's gorgeous.
Yeah.
Well, so is the editor, but yeah. I don't know if they ever hook up. They always flirt, but it's like more like the Moneypenny thing where I don't think they ever do.
Yeah, it's the James Bond Moneypenny.
Yeah, like they're always flirting, but nothing ever comes of it. So at this point, they're straight up seeing each other because they kind of had that, you know, Cybill Shepherd, Bruce Willis, awkward, hate each other thing for the first, I don't know, 10, 15 issues. And then they ended up getting kind of coupling up and becoming interested in each other. And they're starting to get serious. And he's working through the loss of his family that had happened in, I think, South Africa. And at this point, though, in this issue, they are a couple. She is working on a painting. And literally, it's just a lot of spreads of her just working and painting. So we go, they're laying in bed, and she says, John, are you awake? And he's been whimpering and kind of crying in his sleep, and she's taking care of him, and she tells him that she's not going to go away.
Why is he crying in his sleep?
I think it's because he's still traumatized from his family, because they were all murdered in front of him. I can't remember how many kids, but he had a wife and kids, and they were killed.
Yeah.
And like I say, this is, I think, pretty early on in their relationship. So he's, I think, making, I'm sure that's probably hard if you have a loss of a family and then starting to seriously date someone else. I'm sure that would probably be pretty difficult. I can't even imagine. Yeah. I always tell Kristen she better not have anything happen to her before me, because I never want to date ever again. Yeah. That sounds horrible.
That sounds like me. I don't want to do it.
Yeah. So then they go to their friend. He's a ballet dancer, Gray. They're at his studio and they're watching the practice. And he's like, what brings you here? And they're showing off the newest leprechaun. Looks really good, Mike. And John tells him, he's like, you guys work really hard. He's like, ballet's like training for the Olympics every single day of your life. And Mike's like, well, y'all look happy. And this point, he doesn't know that John and Flem are the same character, because Flem is his alter ego. So he's an assassin, right?
He's a hitman. He's a gun for hire, sort of.
Exactly. So he can't really like be like a children's book author. So he has this whole doofy outfit he puts on with like a big mustache.
Isn't it a wig? It's blonde, right? Yeah,
and
a wig, right?
And glasses. And his name's Flem. And so Gray has met both John and Flem. So he's saying, if you see Flem, give him a kiss for me. And so, of course, once they leave, she smooches him. And she says that was from Gray. And back to painting. And then they run into the cop. So there's a black cop who's always on Sable's ass, like throughout the series. He's trying to bust Sable. There's one point where a policeman almost kills John, because John was trying to stop a liquor store holdup. And he comes out of the back of the liquor store trying to catch the robber. And the cop didn't know it was him, and the cop shoots him. So this guy has, even when that goes down, this guy was, you know, trying to get, he reminds me of the fella that was in the Daredevil run with Zdarsky, you know, just really trying to catch Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, so he
runs and becomes an ally eventually.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think it's slowly working its way there.
Yeah.
For one thing, I think he's pretty sure that he knows that Flem and John are the same person, because, his kids are a big fan of the Leprechaun books. And at one point, Flem comes to his house and gives him a book. And he's got to kind of look in his eye like, I think I know who you are, dude. Uh-huh. So anyway, he's lightening up on him a little bit. So they chat for a second. And then we're back at her painting. Like I said, this is a super thin issue. They're getting ready to
sit down for coffee, and he pulls out this African article that he wrote for a magazine. And she's looking through it, and she's like, this looks amazing. I'd love to go to Africa sometime. He's like, well, I was planning a trip to Alaska. Do you want to go? And she's like, sure. He's like, well, we could go in a few months. And back to painting again. Then they walk past a museum, and it's got a lot of kind of relics made from ivory. It's called the Queen's Gallery Treasury of the Ivory Coast. There's a huge tusk. He's like, that must weigh over 150 pounds. Let's go in there and see what's going on. So they go in, and they're looking at the displays, and there's a woman who had created a lot of the artwork there from the ivory, and they go to meet her, and they get introduced to Claudine Joubert, and she is well aware of who Mr. Sable is, because it's going to turn out she's from his past. He just doesn't happen to remember her. So they're looking at ivory, and Mike is like, this is upsetting. These used to be elephants. And Claudine's like, well, John Sable used to be a big game hunter. I'm sure that doesn't offend him. And she says, I have an offer for you. This is my card. Come visit me sometime. So they leave, and Mike is like, what's going on? He's like, I don't know. Something about her. I don't like her, but I don't know why. So he goes back to visit Claudine later, and she offers him a job. He said, she said that she's off to look for a treasure that's in Africa. So there was this giant ape made out of ivory, and it had been stolen and hidden. And they think it's supposed to be in some waterfalls in a part of Africa that nobody's been to in a while. So she wants to go on a safari, and she wants to hire him. And he says, I'll go on one condition. And, of course, the condition is going to be that Mike gets to go. So he goes to Mike's apartment. He tells her about Africa, and he wants to show her where he came from. But it is going to be an adventure, and he kind of warns her, and she agrees to do it. And then the last page, you see the painting she's worked on. It's, of course, a picture of John. And the last panel is Claudine reading a telegram. It says, John Sable arriving in 10 days, stop. Stand by to dispatch on my signal, stop. And sign it, J. So she's not who she says she is. And that's where that issue ends. So basically, it's a setup for the big Africa arc, which I have read. This is a one where I picked up because I was filling in a gap.
Uh-huh.
And I hadn't read that one. But I don't know. I love John Sable. It's a great series.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite indie books, but discovered it way late.
Me too.
Through podcasting. I didn't start buying it until like after 2006, that's for sure.
I think the Sutherlands are the first time I really knew anything about it, because they were doing their, what is the name of it? Is it Warlord Worlds podcast, where they talk about just Mike Grell stuff?
Yeah.
And they They're started big, talking about John Sable.
Mike Grell and the other guy that does...
Ron Randall.
Yeah, there you go.
Ron Randall.
I've met them, but I haven't ever... I've talked to them introducing myself, like,
sure.
You know, I do a podcast. Yeah, I know who you guys are on Facebook and stuff like that, but I didn't really ever, they had like at Heroes Con or one of those cons, like a pre-dinner show meet and greet with all the podcasters, and I never went to it, but yeah, they're gotcha. Huge fans. I have a lot of Mike Grell commissions, not of Sable, though. They're all of Warlord.
They're such, I mean, that's such a good book.
It's got so many beautiful women in that book. That it does. It's easy to start, you know, going down the list. Now I want this one. Now I want this one.
I would love to go back and my first Star Slayer is one of my earliest Mike Grell books that wasn't Warlord. And I actually got it to get Rocketeer.
Yeah.
And I think that's when I first started reading his non-DC work. I like him a lot.
Yeah, I like Mike Grell. I think he's a super... He does really good panels, too. He's a pretty fascinating guy.
Yeah.
My book is Beware! Number 6 from Marvel Comics. It's a 20-cent. It's got a really beautiful cover. Some guy's looking at a mirror. The mirror... There's demon arms coming out of the mirror. and the girl's just holding his arm. What was the thing in the mirror? It kind of has something to do with it, but not quite. This is a reprint comic book. It reprints Mystery Tales 25 from 1955 and Adventures into Terror number 14 from 1952. The writer is Stan Lee. Artists are Dick Ayers and George Tuska and Tony DePrita with a Ron Wilson cover. Like I said, I've been getting into these reprints, and this one was published in 1973. This first story is called The Deadly Plague, and it's so freaking ridiculous because this guy's like running down the street and he's like, "Help! Somebody help! Look what's happened to me!" And then the policeman says, "It's a polka dot man I'm seeing. He's got like polka dots." And he touches the man, and now the cop has polka dots all over him. And not only is it on his skin, but it's on his clothes and everything else. And it just it's like this virus that if somebody talks to you and you talk back, they get the polka dot disease. So this polka dot disease is, you know, some guy drives by and talks to the cop, and then his whole car is polka dotted, and he's got polka dots, and he freaks out, crashes into a pole, and everybody's freaking out. And this guy gets home, and he doesn't want to talk to his wife because then she's going to get the polka dot disease. And he gets this mysterious envelope underneath his door. It says, "Dear Mr. Morgan, I can remove your polka dots without any pain. My car is waiting outside. Get in, you'll be taken to my place. Do not spread to anyone." And he gets in the car. He's got a car waiting for him. He gets in the car, drives up to this like black mansion, gets in, and this doctor comes out, and he touches him. And he becomes Stripe Man.
Stripe Man.
So he's like, this doctor explains to him, "Now you got the stripe disease, and now you'll spread the stripes." And he goes, "There's a war going on between the stripes and the polka dots."
Oh my God.
So this guy goes back home, and his wife comes out of the shower. She gets dressed, and she's already got the polka dots. And he's like, "Oh no, you can't be one of them," because he's a stripe guy now. The second story is called Hex, and this guy's abusing like the people that work for him, the Mexican guys that work for him essentially. And this guy puts a curse on him, so because he's beating his people, and he gets sick, like to the stomach, like he's like got a stomach ache, and he's probably gonna die. And he says, "Take the curse off of me." And he sees him like trimming bark off of this tree, and he gets healed again. And he says, "Well, if you heal me, I'll never hit anybody again." But he goes back to his old ways, starts beating the employees, and then he kills the guy that has. He's like, "Yes, senor, but this time I'm going to let you die." Like, he's not going to heal him, but he's like, "I don't care." And he kills him with a knife. And he goes, "I know where you went to trim the bark off the trees." And then he shows up in the forest, and every tree is marked with an X, because he saw the tree that he was peeling it off of, and it had an X on it. So he's going to die anyway. this next one is my favorite. This is the mirror on the wall. This guy decides to rob a pawn shop, and he basically says, "Give me anything that's valuable in this story." And he goes, "Well, this mirror is the most valuable object I have because it can restore life." And the guy ends up killing the pawn shop owner and then taking cash out of the cash drawer and then leaves. But then he's like, "You know, maybe I should go back and find that mirror that was painted over the glass." And he goes back to the mirror, and he starts scraping off the black paint, and he eventually sees the dude that he just killed in the mirror, and he pulls him into the mirror, and they switch places, and they said, "I told you the mirror was the most valuable thing." that I had because it can restore life. Well, I was dead and now I'm alive. And then he paints it black again because then that guy can't see. He can't see out. And the last one's very interesting. It's about a circus barker that has these little people in his circus, and they're trained to do various things, and he beats them like if they don't perform. And you realize that one of the little people was a doctor, and he had to go in front of court at one time because he was doing surgery without a license on his family to try to make them large people. He was trying to do something with the pituitary gland or something,
right,
to try to get them to grow. And this guy saw all that happen, this circus barker, and he said, the judge said, well, I'm going to have to put you in jail. Well, this barker said, well, if I put them underneath my wing at the circus, will you let them out? And he goes, yes, I'll let them out. But then he starts beating them again. He kills one of them, nice, but then they end up killing him because he killed one of the guys. And that doctor that was one of the little people, he does surgery on this guy once he knocks him out with a gas, chloroform, and does surgery on him, and he merges a dog with this guy. And so he's now running the circus, and he has this half dog, half human guy, which is the old barker. But it was a pretty crazy. And then on the back cover, you have that famous Evel Knievel stunt cycle.
Oh, yeah, like the toy.
Ad. Yeah. I never had one, but my friend did. And we played with it a lot, trying to get it to do various things, but it not getting very far. The ad always looked better than when you actually spun up the ramp and shot him off.
He couldn't jump like a valley of cars.
No, he couldn't. Or a books, you know, a volume of encyclopedias. He'd right. sort of like ramp over two of them and then crash.
Oh, that sounded like a good one, though. I really like the plague one. That was hilarious.
Yeah, the plague one and the polka dots was good. They were all good. Like, I liked them all.
Anytime I see those reprints from the 70s, I have a soft spot for those because as a kid, that's how I read a lot of that kind of, you know, early Marvel stuff. So when I see those, if they're, you know, not expensive, I almost always just grab them. I don't care if it's the reprints of the superheroes or the horror or whatever.
Yeah.
The stuff that you were talking about earlier that I wish you could find more of is like the Marvel funny books and the Marvel romance stuff, because I don't see that stuff often, like the Millie the Model and Chili.
Little kids, too. It's like the little kids. Like, they're hard to find.
Yeah, I don't see that stuff often. It's good stuff, though.
Mm-hmm.
I got a weird one that'll kind of go with the Halloween and your vibe that you were just doing. This is Flesh Crawlers.
Flesh Crawlers.
Yeah, from Kitchen Sink Comics. This is number one. What year was this? 1993. And it's by Richard Rainey and Michael Dubish.
So we're still in the comics boom in 1993, so...
Yeah.
This is when things were blowing up.
This is a black and white, I guess, say from Kitchen Press, and it's a weird one. So you start, it's kind of got this crab meets arachnid meets Cthulhu monster piloting something on the first page, and you flip it, and it turns out that they're basically trying to fly to Earth. You see, kind of looks like a Jeep Grand Cherokee. Is driving along and it sees the light shoot overhead. And the woman driving says, Mike, wake up. And Mike's like, what? What, we there? Something just flew over us. I think it came down up ahead. I didn't see it. How far are we going to this commune of yours, Liz? It's not a commune, it's a retreat. It's going to help us, Mike, you'll see. That thing crashed right up there. Wonder what it was. It looked really big. I don't see anything. Sure could use this rest area, though. So they stop and go to the bathroom. And they talk a little bit about this retreat they're going to be on.
she's not happy with the way their marriage is going. So she's got him going to this kind of religious retreat where there's going to be, I don't know. Growing up, we called them revivals. You ever hear that sort of thing where they, like, you go to and you, like, find Jesus, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I remember. I never went to one, but yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so that's kind of the thing they're going to. But he says, what the fuck? The car won't start. She says, Michael, watch your language.
Did you have to fill that in, or was it already like that?
No, it actually
like
says it, yeah.
Okay, so Kitchen Sink was, they were like Fantagraphics, I guess?
Yeah, C-O-M-I-X. That tells you that they had their, they were underground comics at one point.
Okay.
Yeah, then he's like, sorry, honey, I just, Jesus Christ. And it's this giant bug spaceship's coming down and shining a light on him. And the aliens are looking at pictures of him close up in the ship. And it almost looks like they're 3D, almost like they're scanning them, because it's showing like DNA strands. And there's like a almost like a 3D image of them popping out on the alien screen. And there's like this thing where it looks like they're doing a retinal scan and just all sorts of fancy stuff. And she's like, what's going on, Mike? Are you okay? What happened? So it's almost like he lost time, like with the typical alien thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so they get back on the road. They get to the Aaron Adirondack. That's how you say that, right? Adirondack retreat, a Christian community. And they pull in, and it's a deputy. He said, I'm Deputy Warfield. Welcome to the Adirondack retreat. And they 3 days later, the preacher's getting ready to talk. There's a bunch of kind of people milling around. And there's an old lady comes up. She says to the wife, what's the matter, dear? You look lost. I'm looking for my husband, Michael. Is he that bearded boy? That's the one. Sometimes he acts like a boy. Oh, can't miss him, hon. Last I saw him, he was heading for the parking lot. Oh, Jesus. He keeps his beer in the car. He thinks I don't know. That's why I brought him. But he's missed every service since we got here. Dude's been skipping the entire time. He's not even gone once. I don't know what to do. You could always pray, dearie. I'll pray for you. Come on. And so you see him, like, being all sketchy. He's got, like, I don't know. I have never seen beer kept in something like this. So he's got a sixer, and it's almost, it looks like a kind of cross between a purse and, like, something they would store money in, like if you were moving it for a bank. So he pops a beer. He's out, and there's a light in the woods. He looks up, and he starts, like, I don't know, kind of like having like a spasm in his neck and his muscles. He crushes the beer. And I mean, if you didn't know better, you'd think he was belching because he's doing like this weird like head thing. But I think they're trying to say it came from the light. And he says, now this is a church, the great outdoors. And then a light beam shoots down. He goes, Jesus Christ. And it like burns a hole in his head. What's wrong with me? I didn't have but one drink. And he looks up and he sees a woman in the woods. He says, you aren't real. I hadn't seen you since college. And she's like, since we were lovers. Now everything's fine. You can't be here. Not now. You're more beautiful than I remember. Yes, better. The odds are impossible. It's been 10 years. It doesn't matter. So, and of course he's like, no, we shouldn't hook up. And she's like, we should. We shouldn't. We should. And he goes to embrace her. And it's like The Shining, where she goes from being a beautiful woman to like a ghoul.
Oh,
and he
like
goes,
the shower scene.
Yeah.
Tub, yeah.
Yeah. He goes, ow, it stings. Something's wrong. My blood is freezing. Nothing's wrong. My hands. And so his hands, there's like stuff coming out of her back and it's wrapping around his hands. Her hands are going into his back. There's like bug stuff coming out of her mouth. And then she goes full on insectoid and like bites him in the neck. And you hear a scream and it's so loud. It shows up like four panels long, and then they're like, for a moment I thought that was a human being. And then the preacher's preaching and it's boring stuff, you know, Satan and raptures and stuff, whatever. So back to him, he's really jacked up at this point, and the bug thing is like, it looks like it's ingesting him and kind of taking him over all at the same time. Almost like it's becoming one with,
You know what it reminds me of? Do you remember in The Thing when Wilford Brimley kind of sticks his hands in the guy and goes, "Lee, that thing"? You remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's almost kind of that kind of a vibe, except it's a giant bug monster. Well, she goes and reports to the deputy that he's missing. He goes down to the sheriff's office. They decide they're going to get a posse together to go look for him. And they get out there with the posse, and he's like, "Crash Warfield, you got a bear or a city boy down there?" And he's like, "Just a civilian as far as I know. Whatever it is, the dog's got the scent. This is going to be a cakewalk." So they head down there. The dogs are freaking out. And you see the aliens. And the dogs are barking. You see the aliens. The dogs are barking. You see the aliens. And then the deputy gets down there. "Warfield, down here." And goes, "Oh, shit. Is that as bad as it looks?" "I'm afraid so. He's dead. No pulse, no breathing, not a mark on him." So he looks, he's completely naked, and there's penis in the scene. So once again, you can tell we're not in a mainstream comic. He's like, there's blood all over him. So it looks like he's like had some kind of hemorrhagic thing where he's like bled through his skin. So he looks normal, except there's blood everywhere. And he appears to be dead. Reverend's coming down with the wife. "Well, throw a blanket on him. She ain't going to want to see him like he looks here." And she gets down there. She's like, "Oh, Mike, no, Mike. What? How could God do this?" And the Reverend says, "Get her out of here. She don't want to remember Mike like this." And so he goes to shut his eyes, and his eyes pop open, and he goes, "Bleh." And the deputy's, "Holy shit, Michael, oh, my God, it's a miracle." And the Reverend goes, "Lazarus." Because, Lazarus rose from the dead, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So, he says, "Elizabeth, I've finally seen the light. Oh, Michael." And they're embracing and ain't got a stitch of clothes on him. So then we're back to the police. And when the deputy gets there, there's a guy in the office and he's sitting. This is so rude. So he's sitting in complete black, but he also is shining a light straight in the guy's face, which I don't know. Nobody wants that to happen.
Uh-huh.
So he tells him that he's been recruited. And there's something going on. There's this Black Flight Squared classification that is dealing with this situation. And they want him to come work for them. And that 20 years ago, a spacecraft had crashed and they had found aliens there. So now we're in a lab and we're doing a flashback. And you got these bug aliens that had shown up earlier. And there's military looking at them. And then as they're about to dissect them, you get the cover image happening inside, where a tentacle shoots out of the quote-unquote dead alien and pops the guy's head off. And then the aliens go through and attack everybody. And as they kill people, they basically take over their body, kind of like Invasion of the Body Snatchers. So that's probably what has happened to our buddy Mike, is that he has been taken over by one of these aliens. So kind of like The Thing, actually more like The Thing, if you think about it, because that's kind of what it did. It would shapeshift into whatever it had just killed into, diabetes. Wilford Brimley. Sorry, I couldn't remember his name for a second. So he's recruited him, this fellow that was sitting in the dark, and he's going to join with the Force Majeure, as they call themselves, and they're going to be undercover as a freight company, and they're going to go bag them some flesh crawlers. And that's the end of that first issue. And that was a 3-issue series. I really like it. Pretty good art for an independent book. Maybe not up to par. You get a black and white indie, it's not going to look like a Marvel book. But it still looked pretty good. Had a fun contest on the back. You could win a 1969 Camaro hand-painted by Simon Bisley.
Interesting.
Yeah, how in the heck does somebody small like Kitchen Press afford
what do you have to do to win it?
Let's see. What do you got to do? No purchase necessary. I guess you just
send the coupon?
That must have been a coupon in it because it's not in the book. So look inside. It's telling you there's a comic coming out. Okay, here you go. So if you answered C to the above, look inside Melting Pot number 1 for contest details on how to win this. So it's just an ad for an upcoming contest that's going to be in a different comic. But still, I've given away a car from a small publisher.
Camaro?
That's wild, yeah.
Camaro giveaway on Melting Pot. I wonder if it ever was Melting Pot Kitchen Sink Comics. I'm Googling it.
Yeah, did you find it?
Well, I want to know if it was legit.
Yeah, I hope somebody won it. It's a good-looking car. There's a trade paperback out of it. Let's see. Issue number one, A Melting Pot. Does it say anything about inside of it? Because sometimes they'll tell you what's inside of it.
Contest to win a Camaro, hand-painted.
Oh, you know what, buddy? This is says it was written by Kevin Eastman. He probably had some of that turtle money burning a hole in his pocket. He probably could afford to do something like that. You know what I mean?
Well, he owned Kitchen Sink, didn't he?
Dennis Kitchen owned Kitchen Sink.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Eastman started his own company because...
well, I know Kitchen Sink was doing the Spirit at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was the name of the one that Eastman ran? Because he had one too, but it went out of business because he was paying like... people like Simon Bisley to do work for him, and he had really good pay rates, and it didn't sell well enough because it was after the bust, I think, and it went out of business pretty quick. I think he also owned Heavy Metal for a minute or two. Eastman was
he did.
Yeah, I like Eastman a lot.
Tundra,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So my last pick is Kid Colt Outlaw. Number 163. It's a reprint again.
Nice.
Really cool cover where he's swinging from the chandelier saying, you got me cornered, hombres. Mr. Nobody corners Kid Colt. And then it says at the bottom, bullets fly thick and fast when a fighting mad kid faces the guns of Dakota Nixon. God, this is a beautiful copy, too. This is one that I did win on that Twitter.
Nice. Thing. What number was it again?
163.
Okay.
And from what I can tell, this is Stan Lee writing the story. And I don't even know. There's three stories in here, so there's several artists. And the only one I can tell is the last artist. This first story was the coolest.
I can tell you. I got it pulled up. It says it was Dick Ayers and Jack Keller.
Oh, Jack Keller does the backstory. I know he does that because he's the one that's credited.
Yeah.
But it's really good art overall, and they both seemed like they have a house style to it.
Yeah.
Kid Colt's at a saloon, and a sheriff and his deputies come in, and they're like, "Don't make a wrong move, kid. We got you surrounded." And he's like, "The law." So he's like, "How the hell am I going to get out of this?" So he jumps on the table, jumps on the chandelier. They're shooting. You know, you have gunfire going, shooting at him while he's on the chandelier. He swings up to the second floor, kicks down a door, and then breaks a window. And then the sheriff and his posse said, "Oh, he's gone. He must have gone out the window." And he told his horse to ride off, so they really think his horse is named Steel, that Steel took off, and they take off after him where he's hiding in the, what do they call those long dressers where they have like a door, but they had clothes in them?
He was a shipping robe.
Yeah, he was in one of those. So he was hiding, and he says, I'll get my horse later." And then when the sheriff is gone, this guy Dakota Dixon rides into town, and he's like, "Let's go rob the entire town. We can take over. There's no sheriff. There's no posse. They're out of, you know, let's rob it." And of course, at this time, I didn't know Kid Colt was a hero, but he's like, "Take another step, and I'll draw Dakota." Well, it turns out that Dakota and him know each other because they were like raised as kids together. I guess Kid Colt's father raised Dakota because his father died and was loyal to Kid Colt's father. So he ended up raising them together, and they had quarrels their entire time that they were raised together. But there's some kind of loyalty there because they want to kill. This guy's got a gang of like six, and they want to kill him, and he doesn't want, he's like, stay back, you coyotes, I give the orders here. So Dakota doesn't want to kill this, you know, kid Colt, because they have a history.
Right.
And they get into this big old fight, and they were going to shoot kid Colt in the back, and Dakota jumps in front and takes the bullet for kid Colt. And so this guy, he says, you gave up your life to save mine. Why'd you do it, Dakota? Why? Maybe I wanted to prove your father was right when he said Dakota ain't as bad as he seems. And so he rides off into the sunset, and the kid he grew up with died.
And the Hulk music plays.
Yeah. And then he's off into the next adventure, and there's a huge gunfight with him and a bunch of guys on horses, and he chases them off because he's such a good guy. You know, he knows how to do his guns like nobody else. And he chases off about 8 guys on horseback, and he was protecting this guy called Dr. Calhoun. And he's like a medicine dude, you know, that drives around in one of those wagons selling medicine.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And he's got a Native American that works for him. He's Powhatu. And he says, you know, for saving me, I'm going to give you this elixir. It's guaranteed to cure anything from gout to bad luck. So this elixir, I can't imagine getting gout in the Wild West. Like, what the hell you do if, I mean, you'd have to hope it wears off.
Right.
Because gout is so damn painful, you could barely walk. Now I have Alpurinol or whatever the hell is it called, the miracle drug to really get rid of gout. But this elixir supposedly gets rid of it. So he takes his elixir. He goes off and he notices that something's very suspicious with this medicine guy. He sneaks into his wagon and he sees that all the bank money is in that guy's medicine cabinet.
Mm-hmm.
And then so he's part of that. Those guys he chased off. Those robbers he chased off. And the Native American comes out with a knife and they get into a huge fist fight. And meanwhile, the other guys he chased off are robbing another bank. And he shows up in, I guess he knocked out the Native American and then took his garment out. So they think it's him, but he ends up coming on the back of him and he shoots them all. He knocks their guns out, and then the medicine doctor just takes off. He's going to leave all his crew behind, but then he happens to shoot off his wagon tire, and then he goes off a cliff and he dies. And he goes seconds later, it's all over. He's a goner. He was a fast talker, still could sell anybody to anything. He says, too bad he couldn't sell himself that honesty is the best policy. So that was a good one. And then the third one, it's called The Outlaw and the Lady. This is where it gives his backstory. The legend of Kid Colt. Years ago, Kid Colt killed an outlaw in self-defense. But being young and foolish, he fled instead of staying to stand trial. Since then, he has spent his life trying to atone for his mistake. And so he rides into town. These guys are picking on him. Like, you ever see Unforgiven? I think it's Unforgiven.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe it's not Unforgiven. It's the one before that where he's a priest.
Oh, Pale Rider.
Pale Rider.
Yeah.
So you remember that guy finds some gold and he goes into town and he's like celebrating and the guys are shooting at his feet,
yep,
and making him dance.
Yep.
And he's like, screw you. And they end up killing that guy.
Yeah.
But these guys are doing that to Kid Colt. They're making him dance and stuff. Mm. But that was a bad idea because Kid Colt's good with his guns. And he makes them dance. And the woman comes out and says, I hope you won't mind me speaking to you like this, sir. But I saw what happened and I think you were just wonderful. And they form this relationship. Even the guy that he says, I need to get a room at a hotel, and he lies about his name. He said he's Kid Smith. He says, you're a lucky
kid in the name.
Yeah, the hotel guy says, you're a lucky man, Mr. Smith. I saw you through the window, and Nancy Blade doesn't talk to just any hombre who passes through. She's the finest gal in town. He says, reckon I could see that right off. So he actually starts to fall in love with her over a couple of pages and forms a relationship until she's like, I want you to meet my father. Well, her father's a sheriff, and he's like, that's Kid Colt, the outlaw! And he draws on him and chases him out of town, and she's like, Dad, you can't drive him off that way without a chance, without getting to know him, without hearing his side of the story. I love him, Dad. I've got to find him. And he's Nancy, go home, child. You don't know what you're saying. And he walks off, and she decides to take a horse and ride out into Apache land.
Oh, no.
Where they attack her, and they're going to kill her. And Kid Colt ends up fighting the chief. And the chief is like, let him go, because he legitimately beat me up. So he frees her. But then when he meets up with her, she's like, Kid, I prayed I'd find you. I was crazed with fear that the Apaches had caught you too. He says, what are you doing here? I thought I lost you. Lost me? Sure, your father was right. All I wanted to use, I just wanted to use you so I could get next to him so he wouldn't run me out of town. But he was too smart for me. So now stay out of my way. I've got no more use for you. I'm going back to my gal in Pecos. And then he rides off. Da-na-na-na. He's all sad because he loved her.
Yep.
So, yeah, it was this is a kick-ass Kid Colt, man.
Yeah, that's a good one. I always forget who they are until I remember he's the one that's got, like, the Holstein-looking vest.
Yeah, he's got the vest and the red shirt.
Right.
Yeah.
And Rawhide's got that fancy pants.
Yeah, Rawhide.
Almost Battlestar Galactica looking.
When I think of Western, I think of Rawhide Kid. I don't know why. Marvel wise, anyway. Well, I think he's the more popular one.
Yeah, he was in the Avengers at one point, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That Howard Chaykin thing.
And then wasn't he like? I think he was in the Avengers, and I think he hung out with She-Hulk for a while, or maybe that is Kid. No, actually,
yeah, and they even had that Max series, the Rawhide Kid. So,
yeah,
he's definitely had more limelight than any of these other guys.
Well, I always like those. I think I pick up. Oh, what was the one? There was a series that was kind of reprinting them all in one.
Yeah, Marvel Western Heroes or something like that. Marvel.
Let's see what it was. Was it Mighty Marvel Westerns?
Yeah, Mighty Marvel Westerns. That's
yeah,
what
that's the one I used to collect. That's because I went down a different rabbit hole and forgot all about it. Yeah. Now I'll probably go start looking for them again. but yeah, that was a fun series because if you were lucky, you'd get like a Phantom Rider and a Rawhide and a Kid Colt in there, and sometimes there'd be somebody that I can't remember right now that you'd never heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always like when they do the Western characters. They're a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think these Bronze Age reprints are really appealing to me. I don't know how long I'll stay on this, but I'll probably stay on it for a while.
Yeah.
I've been buying some Marvel Westerns over the course of the last 2 years. I don't have a lot of them.
Yeah.
But I have about 50 of them now.
Do you ever pick up those ones they're putting out from Atlas at Fantagraphics?
Yeah, I've been buying every one of those.
Okay, I hadn't done the artist editions, but I've been doing those.
No, same thing. I ordered the War one, but I have Venus, and I have The Adventures into Terror. But I don't think I've gotten the other one yet. Has it come out? The West.
I have
one?
The Day of the Rockets or something like that.
Oh, there's, that one came out already?
Yeah, I have three of them, and I have War on order. And I think I may have a Cop one on order, too, because I use the, Barnes & Noble. I get points from them when I buy stuff, so they had one of those 30% off sales. So I looked at the
Fantagraphics catalog for what was coming out in the next 6 months, because you know you can look at it on their website, and I ordered the next handful that were coming out. So I have a war one on order, and I think a cop one on order.
You know what's interesting is they're not the same size.
No, they're not.
One is taller than the other.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why they do that. That's weird.
That is weird.
It's kind of, it's fine. I'm not going to be that fussy about it, but it would be nice if they like kind of went with each other just to push better.
At least be uniform. I mean, people make big deals out of the spines, but at least make them the same size.
Yeah. I keep on top of those. I wish there was more Fantagraphic stuff I want to get. It's just I end up the budget gets down to nothing, and I go, well, I guess I'm skipping that.
So there have been three, and I'm missing the sci-fi one. Do you remember what that one's called?
I have it. Give me 1 second. I'm literally a couple of feet away from it. Let me grab it. I know that makes for enthralling podcast listening, but it is In the Days of the Rockets, Atlas number 3.
The Days of the Rockets.
Yeah, and that's starring Jet Dixon and Speed Carter, and it's got like Godzilla looking monsters on the front and
rocket. I've been trying to buy these.
Yeah, they're cool. I need to read them now.
I don't remember the cop one being solicited.
I don't know that it has been. Like I said, I did it in the... I'm trying to find... If I can find it, I'll send you the link. They do, like, little catalogs. And when you... So, like, in Winter 2025 catalog, if you go through it, you can see all the stuff that's coming out. And since I was ordering from a bookstore... I knew they would have it up for order, and I was able to order it straight from Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
And
I've been pre-ordering them and just getting whatever discount they offer.
I think it's pretty much the same. I think when they have a sale at Barnes & Noble, it's 30, which is, I think, the same as DCBS.
Because mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, well, I'll order it from them, and that way I can get the points. You know what I mean? Because, like, when you get... enough points, you get like free stuff. Okay, so Tower of Lost Marvels Volume 1, I also ordered Tower of Shadows. That one is, what's the release date on that one? I don't know. It looks cool though. That one looks right up your alley, buddy. So yeah. It's going to be a horror one.
So they don't have any like rhyme or reason to their collection, do they?
I don't think so.
Like, it's weird how this one says, like, Adventures into Terror, and then it says number 43, and then it goes 44.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know what they choose to collect and what they don't, but I really want some time to start these, because I read the Free Comic Book Day and fell in love with it.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Decided not to order it, and then I was like... I ordered them from Amazon after the fact.
Oh, okay. Here's one. Number 6 is Shiver As You Read. And it's going to be $45. So they're basically putting out one a quarter.
Yeah. I'm going to be getting all the ones going forward. Yeah. Because I really like them.
This is a trip. So it says, for more titles, see page 60. Well, the catalog only goes to page 45. So that's not super helpful. I'm trying to see if I can find the cop one for you. So they're going to start a new one. That one's cool. That looks like that kind of like 60s Marvel horror that it's going to be printing. That second one, the first one I told you about. And the other one are Atlas ones. So they're going to start a new one in the winter. The next one due out is the war one, but I'm trying to find out the name of that cop one, which was number 5.
That one I did pre-order, the war one, but I didn't order
I did too.
In the Days of the Rockets. So I got to get that one.
I just saw one of these as I'm flipping through. I'm like, man, I really want to order that because that's got the Santos sisters in it. I want to get that one. Have you ever read any of those?
Yeah, they're like the Archie adult stuff. Yeah.
they're putting out a collection of it from Fantagraphics as well. I was like, dang it, I wish I'd seen that. I would have pre-ordered it when there was a big sale.
Yeah, I get just singles, so.
I have one of them back when.
They're kind of expensive.
Yeah, I had one of them when it was before it was like through Diamond. I ordered it from Silver Sprocket.
Yeah.
They have, but not only do they publish comics, but kind of like the people who used to put out The Tick, they also have a comic store. So I was able to order it straight from them. And yeah, I mean, anytime you have to order just one single issue, you got to pay shipping. And it was not cheap. I think I ended up spending like $10, $15 on it. Next artist edition is going to be Al Williams from The City That Time Forgot and Other Stories.
Yeah.
That one looks cool.
I don't get the artist editions, but
they're pricey.
I can't wait till they do like the Western.
Oh, me too. Yeah.
I hope they do them. I hope they do more of them.
Well,
like, I hope people are buying them.
That's what I was going to say. As long as people buy them. Okay, finally found it. It is called Atlas Comics Library Number 5, Police Action by Joe Manelli, Gene Colan, and Bob Powell. So Police Action is the fifth
Police
one.
Action.
Yeah. I just wish it had a date on it and I could tell you when it's supposed to come out.
What's the fourth one?
The fourth one is the War one.
The War one. Okay, so they haven't even solicited the War one, or, well, the War one's been solicited. Police Action has not.
Yeah, I think it's only on the website.
Yeah.
I am, because, like, if you look, what does it say when, because, yeah, if you go on their website and look, it'll have everything that you can pre-order from them. I don't even see the War one on here. Oh, no, there it is. When the hell is that one coming out? November 19th, so next month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exciting. I'm excited for that.
I'm going to order the space one now. Through Amazon, and I want to get these. I don't get too many collected editions anymore, but I want these. These are
same.
Because I didn't realize, I guess because I thought they were Golden Age that I wouldn't get into them, but they're really good.
Well, you know, you like EC books, don't you?
I do.
It's from that era, I think. It's Golden Age, but it's like 50s Golden Age. So,
well, EC was popular. I mean, yeah, like everybody knows what that is, but the Atlas era, like, I don't know too many. I know people that collect them, but I don't know a lot of people that know about them or have read them.
Right. So it looks like if you want some of the Western ones, that is in the artist edition one for Joe Manelli. But that's $75.
But aren't
bucks.
The artist editions, though, are they comics or are they like
I think they're artist edition in that they're focusing on an artist. It's not like you think of when you get the IDW artist edition.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's why I stayed away from it.
No, I think they're just
more
expensive.
I thought it was going to be like the Jack Kirby artist editions, which are, they're really hard to store because they're like 2 feet, right?
Oh, it may be big. Let me see if it has dimensions on it. 10 by 13. So it's not small.
Yeah, 13.
But it's not huge either.
Yeah, it's bigger than these.
Yeah, it is bigger than these. Yeah. But that's not outrageously big.
No.
Yeah. So, yeah, that may be something I asked for Christmas. I feel like they're not as expensive on, like, Amazon.
Yeah.
Because a lot of those will be, like, marked down pretty good.
I think I'll do the same. My mom always asks me, what do you want or what could you use? Well, I could use one of these.
We're going to do a price check on it real quick. It's not as cheap as I'd like it to be. $62. I feel like I've seen it cheaper than that, though. Yeah. There you go. That's what you asked for Christmas. That's what I'll probably ask.
That's what I'll do.
They're definitely going to be really nice, though, because it looks like it covers like all his different work. It has kind of like his comedy, space opera, war, horror, and westerns. So it'll be everything that Joe Manelli worked on. Did you grab the Black Knight reprint issue that they had a few years ago of his stuff?
The Black Knight, the Atlas one?
Yeah, they did a facsimile issue from Marvel a few years ago.
That's interesting.
I don't
know much about the Atlas Black Knight other than when I was very young. Well, I guess I was like in middle school. I got a hold of this Avengers Index, Like, I don't know if you've ever seen these books.
I remember them. I never had
but,
one.
But for some reason, the Avengers Index, which indexed all the books like that you needed to collect and kind of gave a quick summary of each comic,
right.
It opened up with the Black Knight. So I was like, why would you do that? But I've always been interested in that because, well, I guess it links to an Avenger.
Right, yeah. I just sent you the image on the chat at some point. But yeah. They reprinted it in 2021, the 1955 Black Knight number one. It's I have it. You know what? I don't think I've ever read it, Mike. I think it's sitting in my basement. I remember.
Yeah, see, that's what I've been telling. Like the other day, I've been looking at Amazing Spider-Man and Superman, the crossover one.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I was telling Bill, I was like, you know, I have this and I've never read it.
Right.
And I just procured it about 2 years ago, but I was like, I just was like sitting on the couch and I was like, I want to read that before I die.
Right, I get that.
I want to experience that. So I like made it a point last weekend to just carve some time out and you're going to read this.
What'd you think?
I thought it was really good.
Yeah,
Ross Andrew,
I like it. It's fun.
Did a... Yeah, Lex Luthor kind of was losing his shit though. He was gonna kill everybody though.
Yeah,
he's gonna
yeah.
kill the entire Earth, and then like even Doc Ock is like, well, what am I supposed to go back to? He changed his mind.
I like where Lex Luthor is now, where he's. But I do love the wild out of his gourd 70s Lex Luthor who was. A complete supervillain too. He was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Lex is a great villain. I've always liked him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I have to go dig that one out of the basement too. That's where I end up rabbit holing. I have these comics I throw down there and then I go, oh, I never did read those. And I go pull those out. Then the next thing you know, I'm in Skokie, Illinois buying a shit ton of dynamite.
Yeah. Some of those though, you can find in dollar bins, you know, dynamite. Yeah.
I like them. Right now outside of DC, they're probably my favorite big publisher because they just do a lot of cool properties these days.
Yeah. I've always been in the Red Sonja, the Vampirellas. I don't get too much into, but they have Johnny Quest. They have Space Ghost.
Yep.
They're going to get the Herculoids.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was really excited about that one. They're getting Silverhawks to go along with the Thundercats.
Yeah.
I'm pretty stoked on what they're putting out these days.
Yeah, the Disney ones are good.
Yep, I love those Darkwing Duck ones. All three of them have been good.
Yep.
So.
Well, I guess we can wrap this one up.
Yes, sir.
And you can reach Joe on Blue Sky. You're still there.
Nope, I am on... Blue Sky kept crashing on me, and I finally just said, I'm only going to be on one. So I'm on Instagram/threads because you can post in one spot. So it's Iowa's Joe on Instagram
there
and
you
on
go.
Threads.
The one thing I'm not on. Well,
I thought you were on Instagram.
No, I'm not.
Oh, dang it. All right.
But I have Facebook chat still.
There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I'm on Twitter. Or X and Blue Sky at Mike Myers Brunch. And you can find this podcast at DCNoisePodcast.com because we're kind of archiving off the Geek Brunch one because of a lot of issues. And on Facebook at either DC Noise Podcast or Geek Brunch Podcast, follow the episode threads there. And we hopefully will be back in 2 weeks. I don't know who it'll be.
All right.
But if it's not, we'll be back in hopefully 4 weeks.
And I'll tell you what, Mike, what I've been meaning to do, I'll try to get off my keister and do. So maybe stay on the lookout. I'll try to get on Facebook and set up a podcast page. And I'll start putting my comic book stuff under 21st Century Boys so that we can at least chat there about stuff. How's that?
That'll be good.
All right, man. It was great talking to you.
All right. Take care.
All right. We'll see you later.
It's always good. See ya.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.